This is Victory House.
So I don't know when last I spoke about David on a Wednesday service, but whenever last I spoke about David, I want to pick up from where we stopped from. We have been looking at what we call character by character. We are trying to look at people from Scripture who lived exemplary lives or who we can learn from. People that live through Scriptures are examples for you and I to learn from. Where they missed it, we should learn not to miss it there. Some of the things that they did well, we should look at it and emulate it. We should not be making the mistakes of history if we learn from history. So why we look at these stories is so that we can see the things that position them for the things that they enjoyed with God. And we started looking at the man called David. David is a very interesting figure in Scripture because David defiled and redefined so many things. In our initial look at David, we discovered that David was not just the king. David occupied a priestly role. David was the one king that reigned upon the throne of Israel, that after his reign, he became the king. When you mention the king or the great king, everybody thinks you are talking about David. Even though David was not the first king of Israel, nor was he the last. He was the second king of Israel. But for some special election of God reasons, for some mercy and grace of God reasons, David just assumed a life larger than life, and he's a man that just intrigues me. And we've been looking at his life and so many things that we can learn from there. So what we started with was to look at the beginning of his life, how he started from. And we saw that he really didn't have a chance. He was somebody that by normal circumstances, by biology, by order of birth, by how things had gone, he should not have been successful. And that's the good news. That's good news for some of us. Because some of us, our story is not supposed to lead to a happy ending. Our story did not start well. Our story has some but. Our story is not the traditional story. It's not the story of, some of us, even after we gave our life to Christ, things still went funny. Things still went back and forth. I was joking somewhere on Sunday that some of us gave our life to Christ and took it back many times. You know, you give your life to Christ. When you enter the church, they will make the altar call. You go forward. It's like you drop your life to Christ on the altar. But when you are leaving the altar, you take the life back just in case you need it. And then when you get outside, you see that, Jesus, I'm a young boy. I will come back for you when I'm older. I remember one of my friends back in the day, he looked at me and said, they used to call me Emo that time. You know, we've metamorphosed in different kind of nicknames. So the guy, he said, was like, Emo, he said, you are laughing. He said, you are too young to be born again. This was like, I think I was 19. The guy looked at me and said, you'll be born again now till you die. The guy is like, man, you are going to miss out on life. I argued with the guy and I eventually convinced myself that. But when I got to my sat down, I thought about it. I said, that's true. I'm just 19. What's wrong with me? I mean, all these boys will party, they will do. And we were rough in high school. So I was like, wow, I'm going to miss out on all of these things. And this one that me, the brand of born againism that I even went with that time was in another direction. You know, I was just in another bend. You know, I wouldn't watch TV. I didn't. In fact, there was a time I was only wearing sandals. And then I usually wouldn't eat breakfast, maybe don't eat lunch. There's nothing wrong with fasting, but I was just one. It was a weirdo one. So I thought of my life. I said, 19. If I'm going to live to be 80, this life must be boring. Oh. But it's not boring. Amen? God has helped us. Even though sometimes we almost missed it, but thank God for his mercy. You know, God, so God corrects us. All right. So David was that very unique figure in Scripture that we've been looking at, and we will continue to look at him. So tonight I will pick a text from Psalm 78. I'm not sure I've used the text in our talk since, but that's where I want to start from tonight. Psalm 78 and verse number 72. Psalm 78, verse number 72. There are several translations that I have here. I will start with the NIV. The Bible says, and David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillfulness, with skillful hands, he led them. New Living Translation say, he cared for them with a true heart and led them with skillful hands. Christian Standard Bible says, he shepherded them with a pure heart and guided them with a skillful hand. The New Heart English Bible say, so he was their shepherd according to the integrity of his heart and guiding them by the skillfulness of his hands. The Aramaic Bible in plain English says, and he shepherded them in perfection of his heart, and in the understanding of his hand, he left them. The God's Word translation says, with unselfish devotion, David became their shepherd. With skill, he guided them. The JPS Tanake 1917 Bible says, it's a Hebrew Bible. Amen. I think all Bibles should be Hebrew Bible because Hebrew is one of the languages that the Bible was written in. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and led them by the skillfulness of his hands. And finally, let me read the Jubilee Bible translation. It says, so he fed them out of the integrity of his heart and guided them by the intelligence of his hands. He guided them by the intelligence of his hands. My emphasis tonight will be the skillful hand. The skillful hand. Because in this part of our discussion on David, we want to look at the trainings. Because you see, it takes training to enforce reigning. It takes training to enforce your reigning. There are many people that should be reigning in different areas of life, but they are not reigning there because they have not been trained. They are not reigning there because they are not skillful. They are not reigning there because they lack the wherewithal to occupy the throne. Because you see, the fact that you are an heir to a throne does not automatically deliver the throne to your hand. They don't give the throne to people that have not been mature to handle the throne. They give the throne to people who by training or who by the reason of positioning themselves with skill are able to take the throne and are able to deliver on the throne. Because sometimes, even in scripture, you see that some young guys, who 8-year-old guy will become king, 15-year-old guy will become king. And some of them will do well when they receive training. And some of them, they won't do well at all because they have not partnered with training. So tonight, we want to look at how David was able to lead a whole nation, especially a fractured nation, especially a nation that was at war, a nation that had civil war, a nation that was divided, a nation that was segregated. How was this shepherd boy, the boy from the back of the desert, the boy that when even Samuel came to their house and was going to anoint a king, his father forgot about him. How was this boy from the back able to lead a people and lead them so well that the Bible calls him the great king? How was he able to do that? One of the things that helped David is what we read in Psalm 78 and verse 72. The Bible said it was with the integrity of his heart, the sincerity of the heart. I think I mentioned that in some of our talk on this David matter. The sincerity of heart. Anytime you have opportunity to do anything, make sure you are a sincere human being. Never join. I know what I'm saying when I say make sure you're a sincere being. Because if you want to find some of the fakest human beings under heaven, it's in church. Because we have a lingo, you know, and we speak in certain ways. The way we speak, we are supposedly speaking the language of faith. And because of that language of faith, people have now exported that language of faith into so many realms where they call the things that are not so as if they are so, which is another word for lie, or which is another word for exaggeration, which is another word for being fake. So you see people, they will smile to you, but they are not sincere. They are fake. The Bible said one of the major characteristics that David had was he had a good heart. He made sure that his heart was good. If you find yourself in church, if you find yourself at work, make sure you're asking yourself, where is my heart? Where is my heart?
what kind of heart do I have? How, what's my disposition? What's my attitude, my motive? In fact, that's the word. What is my motive? When you do things, why do you do what you have done? Why are you in church today? Why do you show up in service? Why? Who exactly is the boss? Who exactly is your service to? Some people, the service is not to God. It's to pastor. And if pastor were to change in one way or the other, whether pastor, maybe pastor used to call them a lot, so that's why they come to church. And for some reason, pastor is not calling them as he used to call them. They will change their relationship. Not only to God, but to the church. Because all the while, it was not a relationship with God. It was a relationship with pastor. Or some church member. Or the music. There's nothing wrong with having a relationship with some of these things I'm mentioning. There's nothing wrong with coming to church and expecting to enjoy good music. We want people to come to our church, enjoy very good music. You know, we want to invest in our music. We want to do something like that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong to come to a church and the pastor cares for you. He loves you. He wants to visit you. He wants to come to your house. He wants you to put him on your speed dial, and whenever you call him anytime, he is able to pick your call. The pastor should be doing that. Should want to do that. We that's what we want to do here. But much more than that, every allegiance you and I have is not to human beings. It's to God. And that's what the Bible was saying here. David led these people with his heart. His heart was connected to God, so his heart for the people was intact. David was not leading them because of popularity. He was not leading them because of fame. He was not leading them because of anything. He was leading them because he was sincere and he wanted to serve God by leading them. So he took it as a service to God by leading them. So in the things of life and destiny, it will take the heart and the hand for you to have a successful destiny. So you must have a good heart, and then your hand must also be good, must be skillful. And that's where I want to focus on tonight. Because as much as good as it is to be sincere, to have integrity, to have a heart that is straight. You know, the word integrity is from integer. If you did mathematics, well, we should have, all of us did maths, right, in school. There's integer. Integers, by definition, are whole numbers. They are not fractions. So when you say something is, when you say someone has integrity, or you say something has integrity, you are saying it's whole. There's no fraction. There's no impurity. There is no half there. So when you say half truth, white lie, all those kind of things, it's not integer again. It's not whole number. It's not complete. It's not full. It's not what it should be. And so David led them with integrity, wholeness in his heart. But that was not the only thing. Skillfulness of hand. Can I say this? That many church people, the reason the prayer that God has answered many times over and over has not found expression is because we have not done anything about skill. We have not done anything about skill. If you are a church person, if you are a child of God, and somebody is not a child of God, and the person is more skillful than you, do you think it will be justice from heaven, of the judge of the universe, to make sure that every time that person, you get an advantage over that person? The guy is more skillful than you. And he has been more skillful than you for a long time. And you think that because you pray and speak in tongues and come to church, there's laying on of hands, there's anointing, there's communion, there's all kind of thing going on for you. You think because all of that is going on for you, that other guy, you should have an advantage over him. Do you think it will always go like that? There are miracles of God once in a while that God, to encourage you, will give you an advantage. But that's not what he wants to continue to do. He wants you to also up your game. He wants you to be a man and a woman of skill. So the Bible said one of the major training that David had was that David trained the skill. David had skill. Skill means you have something that you can do, and you can do it very well. When you say somebody is skillful, It means that that person is able to use a particular information or a particular knowledge, whether with what they do with their hands or what they do with their mind, but they can do it very well. They can do it very, very well. They can do it with excellence. They can do it with satisfaction to the customer. They can do it with that will make everybody that looks at that product to look at it with admiration. And God is saying that children of God should be like that. If you want to be a child of God, who will enjoy the fullness of what God has for you, especially in the month where God has said, I will do a new thing, you need to pay attention to your skill. So tonight, let me just run through some things that I wrote down here that I believe can assist us in walking in this line of skillful hands. Number one, if you want to be very skillful in any area of life, any area, and can I tell you this? There is no area that you are skillful in now that you can't be better. There is nothing you can do now that you can't do better. There is nothing you know now that you can't learn to know more. And that's why the first thing for anybody that will have a skillful hand or that will lead a life that will experience skill in many dimensions of it, the first thing is that that person must develop an ever-learning attitude. Ever-learning attitude. How would you become skillful at anything that God has given you? You develop an ever-learning attitude. Yes, there are things that God gives people as gifts. There are some people that are good at drawing. They can just draw. They like to draw. You know? There are some people, they are good at, painting. It's some form of drawing too. There are some people, they can code. There are ability that seems to be like God wired you with it before you showed up here on earth. But you see, even with those abilities, you can still develop. You can still learn more. You can still do better there. And the first thing that helps you to do better there is to believe that I can learn more. If you have the attitude that you know everything, you are the boss. You know how to do it. If you have that attitude, you will not learn. Because every person that learns is somebody that is willing to learn or knows that there is something to learn. If you as a teacher enter a class and the students feel that they know more than they should learn, they will not learn. Even if the students already know, but they think that they can learn more, you will see that they will learn more or they will reinforce what they have known. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, that anybody that thinks he knows anything should first know that he does not know anything. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know. So how do I develop a skillful hand? Know that you don't know anything. Have this attitude that I can learn more. So when you meet people, don't always be just talking and be sounding like the expert. Sometimes listen, even if those people know less than you. Sometimes I've hung around even church people, and sometimes you say one thing before you say the first thing. The person is already saying six things, and they don't know too much. They just I'm like, okay, if you know, why am I going to talk? You already know. You already know. You already know. So the basis of foundation of learning is to develop an ever-learning attitude. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 5, Proverbs chapter number 1 and 5, it says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. A wise man will listen and increase learning. Meaning that when you know something, if you are willing and you have the learner's attitude, you can know more. You can learn more. I remember one time I was looking through public communication course, and somebody that knows that I speak was wondering why I'll be looking at that. You already speak. Why are you? Because the person, what you think you know, there are more things that you don't know about what you think you know that you can still know. So every now and then, I have paid subscriptions of stuff about sermons. I think almost every day I get like a thing on sermons. I subscribe to podcasts about sermons. I will read some Greek stuff, some Hebrew stuff. And sometimes nobody ever sees me saying Greek or Hebrew. Once in a while, I probably have said Greek or Hebrew. I'm just reading them to learn something. And some of those things, I may never say it out. It's just to learn for myself. But if you don't have a learning attitude, you will not learn. You will not develop skill. What you think you know how to do now, you will not know how to do it better. You will not be the best at it. Because you see, what God wants you to be is not to be that local champion. Some people are still celebrating you in your family now, and then that's it. You can't learn anything. God wants you to be a global champion. He wants everybody all over the world to listen to you. And I declare that this world will hear your voice. I thought I would get a bigger amen to that. So, towards a skillful hand, number one, develop an ever-learning attitude. When you come to church, I want to learn. Do you know that even in church, people come to church blank? They come to church service blank. If pastor says, today we are going to talk about faith. Oh, faith. It's faith. I know faith. And the pastor says, open your Bibles to Hebrews 11. Then they are ready to start quoting. There's nothing wrong with trying to complete sentences. But make sure as you are doing all of that, you are learning something. Make sure that no matter who is standing in front of you, you are still learning something. Because we can learn. I mean, I've noticed that even now, even with technology, I started learning. My kids would do things that I didn't know was possible with technology. Whether they accidentally did it or not, but they did it. And I'm like, well, okay, from this one, this little kid, I that think I am a technology junkie, I can learn from these guys. So developing a learning attitude is the first step towards a skillful hand. Number two, develop a humble and quiet attitude. Humble and quiet attitude. Is that different from a learning attitude? Yeah. Quiet is that even sometimes when you know things, it's okay to listen. Just listen. Whether you are going to learn or not. Just for the purpose of just listening. You know, I don't know if it's an English adage, but they say something like, empty barrel makes the loudest noise sound. So there is value in just keeping quiet. There is value in solitude. There is value sometimes in just watching and listening, not hearing. It's different. Not just hearing. Because there are sometimes people who sit in front of you, they are hearing you, but they are not listening. What they are doing is that they are hearing you to give you a response. If you are listening, you are just soaking it in. You are not necessarily preparing an answer. You are not necessarily preparing a response. You are not necessarily critiquing what you are even listening to, at least at that time. Because I know people that when they come even into church, what they are doing is hearing and critiquing. I'm not sure I said it here before. One of our friends, the other day, he said, did you listen to that woman of God? There were like 8 grammatical errors. I'm like, ah, ha, ha, ha. That's a big deal. You know that they were 8. That means we're noting them now. Wow. I don't know about... I think that's a critical spirit. That's not a good spirit. That's not a good way to learn. But if you are listening, not just hearing, you are soaking it in. Because you when you hear, and you listen for the voice behind the words, you may hear things, you may listen to things that were not even spoken. You may hear the voice behind the words. You may hear the spirit behind the sound that is going forward. Because you see, there are spirits that follow sounds. The Bible said in Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2, he said, the spirit entered into me when he spoke unto me. He spoke word, but spirit entered me. When God was creating the earth, God was speaking. But we thought God was just speaking, but spirit was living. Because how did we know spirit was living? When God made man, the Bible said he breathed into man's nostril. But it seems that what he did with man was what he had been doing before. He had been opening his mouth and some kind of gas and words and whatever had been going for, and we were seeing things that were happening. So the words God was speaking was not just words, was also spirit. Even Jesus said it, John 6:63. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So my words are not just sounds. There's life there. So you can hear, you can receive the life behind the word if you are listening. So how do I develop a skillful hand? I have a learning attitude. I have a humble attitude. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11. The Bible said, make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands. Live a quiet life. Don't all be chatty. Be introspective. Be somebody that tries to see what is behind what is happening. Not just acting. And no, sometimes you need to take cue. You need to learn lesson from actions that you have taken, or of actions that you have seen, or what you have heard. Ask yourself questions and sit down. Sometimes in the morning, before some people put on Instagram and all of that, think and sit with yourself. Be quiet with yourself. Or talk to yourself. Have you time. Have a me time. Me time with the word of God and with what the word of God is telling you. Just sit down and reflect and ponder. That is how we learn. When you have that kind of attitude, that kind of quiet disposition, that kind of humble disposition, you'll be able to learn. So the Bible says you should make it your goal to live a quiet life. And then work your own work. How do I develop a skillful hand? I have a learning attitude. I have a humble and quiet attitude. And all these things we see in the life of David. When David showed up, when they came to anoint him, it didn't sound like he knew anything. But he knew some things. You wouldn't know that he knew anything. He didn't brag. He didn't say anything. Unless until he saw Goliath making noise and talking about his God. That's when he spoke out and said, who are you? Uncircumcised Philistine. And he started giving his resume. But when they were about to anoint him, he did not come there and start telling Samuel and say, me? I'm a warrior. I'm just not a warrior like these guys. I'm not like, I've killed. I'm a killer too. These people are killing in the battlefront. Me, I am killing animals, but I'm a killer. In fact, the things that I've killed, these people have not killed it. The size. And then, you know, some people, they'll say it is self-confidence, it is self, what's that? Elevator speech. Is it elevator speech? That you give that short stuff about yourself? Yeah, some people say it's elevator. I don't have a problem with that. But sometimes people overvalue themselves and overrate themselves. To the point where they can't receive. But the word of God is saying, humble yourself. Have a quiet attitude. How do you develop a skillful one? Maximize every opportunity to learn. You may not know the combination of skills that you will need in your palace. You may not know the combination of skills. You see, everybody, when you show up in your palace, you will need skills. You will need some things to use there. But you may not know all the skills that you will need in that palace. So every opportunity you have, seize it. Take it, exploit it to the fullest. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, Saul had a problem. Saul started to hear voices. Saul was tormented by evil spirits. And then people told him, what is wrong with you? You need something to soothe you. Now, remember before 1 Samuel 16, David had kind of been anointed. Even before Samuel goes to anoint David, David had been anointed by God. Because God had said, I found David my servant. With my holy oil, have I anointed him. It was God that anointed David. And he had anointed David from... So, David was born king. Because Jesus was going to be called the son of David. That was already scripture before David showed up. So David was just living the script that had already been written. Now, David needed to be in the palace, but he didn't know the skill that would put him in the palace. Many would have thought it was killing of Goliath that would really, really put him in the palace. But you see, the first opportunity of palace, what really put David on the palace scale was not necessarily because he killed Goliath. It was because of a trouble that they had in the palace. And what was the solution that David could now give to that trouble? It was his skill.
The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, if you read from verse 16 to 23,
they invited David to come and play because he was skillful with music. And where did David learn how to play music, harp and all of that? To animals, to soothe them, to cool them down, to distract them, to entertain them. Some of us, the things that we are using for our children, we may still eventually use it for the world. Some of the things that we are using in church, that may be our life work. Don't take it lightly. Every opportunity, whether it's a paid opportunity, whether it's an unpaid opportunity, is an opportunity that you should seize very well. Because the Bible says that whatsoever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it very well. If today, for example, God gives you a place to be sweeping, do it very well. I was listening to a testimony today in one program that they had. A lady said she had opportunity to be cleaning the altar. And then she was saying, God, this year, decorate my life. She said after she left that place, God gave her a brother. Or she met somebody that said, I like you. And then they started saying they like themselves. Then some other time she came again, she was decorating again. I said, God, decorate my life. Decorate it for that. He said later on, the guy did introduction. And so, you know, in the American context, you know, the guy would propose. So kind of that's what it meant, you know. But, you know, in African context, introduction just means you go and introduce your family to somebody's family. You know, so the guy did that. The lady found opportunity again. She's always coming to the place to decorate and said, God, decorate. So again, she clean church again, said, God, decorate my life. Before this year ends, before she knows what was going on, she got married. The moral of the story is this. She was doing something that was seemingly mundane, something small, but it was making room for her somewhere else. So what I'm saying is this, whatever you have, you don't know the combination of skills that you will now eventually use at the palace. Every opportunity sees it. Every opportunity sees it. Today I was just, you know, in my own way, started thanking God for this many few days and years that I've spent on the surface of the earth. And I remember that there was a time in my life I used to preach. I did not have a pulpit. But I will enter the bus, and I will preach. And I was very shy in those days, and sometimes I'm still shy now. And I would just close my eyes from start to finish. They would think it's spirit. So I would sing. I'll sing. After I finish singing, I will close my eyes and preach. Whether anybody responds or not, I don't know. But I will make sure I sit at the back. So that somebody will not just tap me from the back and I will be disturbed and all of that. And I will preach. Although there was one day, and I'm sure I've told you that I preached relatively from the middle. And then one man just stood up and said, shut up. I mean, I've never experienced that before. I didn't know the response to give. And you know, in Africa, you respect older people. So I didn't know if I can say, you two, shut up. I couldn't say you to shut up. But I didn't know what I could say. So I was trying to speak up, but God just raised another voice. Somebody just pounced on the man and said, Papa, why are you disturbing the boy? He said he doesn't know what he's talking about. He said, well, how can he be telling us about God? How old is he? He has not seen life. He said, wait for him to see life before he now start talking about God. He said, he's a small boy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And it's true in a sense. I'm a small boy. I'm only saying what the scripture says. I'm not saying my life experience because I didn't have any. But I was speaking the scripture. So the man said he will soon be tired. So me, I was... Today when I was thanking God, I was like, God, somehow I'm not still tired. And we can't really say we are that small again. I mean, I'm still a small boy, but somehow we are father of people now, right? You know? But I did not know that boss preaching, closing your eyes, was a training. Right? I did not know. I will never have known that one day I will now be speaking. No! Because that I didn't even want that in my life. I wanted to have a lot of money, and I will still have a lot of it. Amen. I wanted to have a lot of money because, you know, I was a pastor's child, and I didn't like how pastors used to look those days. So I wanted to have a lot of money and support the work of God. And say, if they say they want to do this, want to build a church, I said, don't disturb the people of God. How much is it? Take. That was what I, so I knew I wouldn't be a pastor because, I mean, how would I be able to do that? So I knew I wasn't going to be good. But I was just doing that one because they had told us then that we should win souls to Christ. We should try to do it daily. And there was no practical way for me to do it because I was attending school then. And so there was no practical way to meet people. So when I entered the bus, I would just close my eyes, speak it. But I did it very passionately. I mean, sometimes I would enter the bus with my friends. I'll tell them to be praying and then me, I will be speaking. I did not know I was going to be doing this. But it was a good training. It was, I don't know if anybody got born again in those meetings, but nowadays I have spoken in places where I can open my eyes and tell the people to come forward, and I will see them come forward. But it was a training there that led up to some of what we are saying today. So what am I saying to you? Don't miss your moments. Maximize the opportunity. Whatever God has put in your hand, maximize it. If it is music, maximize it. Learn more. Learn more. Be deep. Go and research. That's what YouTube is for. That's what we should be using Instagram for. Those are the kind of people we should be following. We should not just be liking and liking people that are slaying and, you know. I mean, there's nothing wrong with slaying. Maybe some slaying is good, but some slaying is not good. Amen. Because some people are just exposing what they should be covering. But use some of this medium that you have access to maximize the opportunity God has given to you. Because if you do that, you are making your hands more and more skillful. I'll say one more thing and maybe I'll round up here and then I'll continue the next time I have opportunity. Acquire skills by observation. Acquire skills by observation. You know, sometimes some people will say, I want to learn so and so, but there's nobody to teach me. Or I am part of so and so place, but my boss is not teaching me. I was having a discussion with somebody the other time, and the person was, me and the person were talking about discipleship. And the person was trying to say, well, she doesn't think that there are real discipleship in the context of our present day world and within our organization, for example. And I said, well, I beg to differ. That in the discipleship of Jesus, there were many things Jesus never told those guys. There were many things, at least recorded in scriptures. There were many things Jesus never told them. In fact, some things they learned because they just asked questions. But most of the things that they learned because they were watching. They were observing. Can I ask you, how do children learn, especially when they have not started speaking? Is it not by watching? Is it not by watching you and modeling what you are saying sometimes or what you are doing? How does a child know how to laugh? Smile. I mean, some of them are reflex actions, but sometimes you can instigate a child to laugh. How? Because the child sees you do your face like that, and then the child wants to do the same. So we can learn by observing. There are some people that have gone ahead of you. There are some people that are doing what you are supposed to be doing. There are some people that are doing what you are doing right now. Look at them. Some of them you may be able to ask them questions. Some of them you may not be able to ask them questions. But you can look at them. You can learn, you can acquire skills by observation. Oh, sometimes I listen to a lot of messages. It's not every message that I listen to for content. Some I listen to it for delivery. How did this guy start what he was going to preach? This guy was going to talk about Jesus is, God is love. But see where he started from. Can I also start my own message from there? Where people will not know that I'm going to God is love, I will just capture their heart from God wants to bless you and give you money. And then bring them back to God is love. But if, because I know this is what they want, but this is what they need. So I can use what they want to get them to what they need. So how do you do that? By getting people, helping people to get what they, getting them from what where they what they want to where, what they need. It's sometimes when you are watching people like that. You watch. You learn by skill. You acquire skill by observation. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, we'll close with this. Philippians chapter 4 verse 9. Paul was telling the Philippians, whatever you have learned or received or heard or seen in me, what you have seen in me, put into practice. Act it out. Practice it. Watch and practice it. Watch some things and practice it. Learn by observing. I thank God for our formal education that we have now. But before we had education the way we had it now, it was learning by observation before that we had. If you wanted to be a lawyer, you go and meet somebody who was already a lawyer. You hang around the guy. You will go to his cases. If you wanted to be a tailor, you hang around the guy. Now, there's a lot of formal instruction and a lot of book instruction. And sometimes people will go and be very heavy on book, but they won't be good with practical. I've seen a lot of people that went to tailoring school, they cannot sew nothing. Because they didn't learn the skill by observation. They just learned it by reading. So they know how to, they can tell you with mouth how to cut, you know, a perfect shirt, but they can't do it. Because if you tell them to do it, if they sew the shirt for you, and you wear it, you say, is this my size? They say, yes, it's your size. But when you wear it like this, it will just, the seams, it will start giving way on the seams. Why? Because they didn't learn by observation. So there are people God has sent to you. There are people around you that you can watch. You can learn. The question is, how did David learn how to kill lion? How did he know how to kill bear? The Bible did not tell us any of his brothers were doing that. The day they called him from the field, he was the only one there. How did he learn all those things? Oh, God helped him. Yeah. But maybe he saw somebody doing it. Maybe he watched. Maybe some of the cattle rearer or shepherds that were in the town, they told him that there was one guy that used to kill lions. And he said, you kill lions? And he said, okay. What time of the day do you kill lions? It's 3 p.m. And David says, every 3 p.m., I'll take my sheep to go and watch the lion killer. Because the more I watch the lion killer, the more I will know and I'll probably be able to start doing the same thing. You learn by watching. So you acquire skills. You sharpen your skill by observation. I want you to bow down your heads this evening. And you're going to talk to God. God wants to do a new thing. But he will have you also become a new person. He will have you also do something about what he has given you. There are abilities that he has given you that are still in their seed form. What are you going to do about it?